Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, John, it doesn't like your opening. What can I say? What can I say? It's unbelievable. But anyway, here's the new opening. Sorry, John, try to get it on there. Live on Blog Talk Radio. The Candid Frank Live Show with John the Argo Boat Logo Granger, Christopher Lion's Den Jones, Mike the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend, Kelly, Rough Rider Daddy Bale.
Wah, wah.
Manasseh, Blog Talk Radio Show, Geber Medine.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce, Hamilton Tiger Cat, 13th Man, John Inch.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me the pig.
And boom it is. Okay, so another week almost ending. First of all, I'd like to wish everyone, from everyone, a happy Valentine's Day. May you be struck with the arrow and bleed not so much, but love the experience. Hope enough chocolate and other some such things have exchanged hands. It doesn't matter who gets the chocolate. They both end up eating it anyway. That seems to be the tradition around here. So it's not a question of who buys the chocolate, and it's not a question of who eats the chocolate. Kind of the same thing. So for the Argo fans, and I guess starting with John Granger, we have a coaching staff with the Argos. But first, I'd like to remind everyone that we have two guests on tonight, and our first guest is Eric Taylor, former BC Lion, and now has played a couple of years in the Indoor Football League. I think the AFL is one that he played. And now he has tried out at a combine for the BC Lions, and now he will, in I guess March 1st, will be trying out for the Ottawa Red Blacks. Later on, we have a Chicago Bear prospect trying out for the Chicago Bears. His name's Andrew J. Allen, a friend of the show. He's been invited to the combine, and as a complimentary thing, it won't cost him anything, which means Chicago's as interested as they can be to invite him to come on and give her a go. And he'll be joining, if he makes the team, Mark Trestman. And, you know, we all know him from the CFL. So let's take let's start with our friend, our new friend, I should say, Eric Taylor. Eric, first of all, I'd like to welcome you to the program.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we enjoy on this program talking about the direction that CFL teams look in as far as who they bring in and who they don't bring in. It's really nice that you're on the program, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. So let's talk, first of all, Eric, your first experience in BC was a few years ago, and give us an idea of who was there and what you were doing there, what position you were playing, and tell us a little bit about the experience.
First and foremost, again, thank you for having me. My experience with the BC Lions coming there in 2008 was a bit of a shocker to me. You know, it was all new. You know, then wasn't quite sure what I was actually walking into. I mean, hey, I'm a guy, you know, from Montgomery, Alabama, so I eat, sleep, breathe football. That's what we do. So as long as there's a football around, I was going to be content. But coming into the BC Lions organization in 2008 was pretty awesome. You know, once I actually got up and got in, you know, the fans were great, the staff was great, it was everything a rookie could actually, you know, pretty much hope for walking into a professional football organization. You know, at that time, Wally Bono was the head coach. My receiver coach at that time was Jock Chatelain. I was an outside receiver, initially brought in, and we were told, or I was told straight up front, you know, there was, you know, a receiver spot that was open that they're actually trying to replace or fill, and it's up for grabs, and the best guy made the best guy get the job. I was behind on the depth chart, Paris Jackson, at that time. Training camp was pretty much pretty good for me, you know, to the point where, you know, I made it to, like, the absolute end of training camp, and here we are, they're giving speeches to load up the bus to, you know, go get ready to get your equipment shipped off, and we're heading to the first preseason game where I was one of the last five that was actually released from the team in that process. It was pretty heartbreaking at the time, but, you know, hey, it's the nature of the business that I chose to get in. Following that, 2 weeks into the season, Corey Rogers is his name, I think, receiver at that time. He kind of tore the lead Achilles the second week in the season, and my agent made a call to Coach Jock, and they accepted me back with open arms, where I remained until being released again. But yeah, I mean, the whole experience of the CFL was awesome for me, and it's addictive, and I'm trying with everything in me to actually get that second shot and get back in there again.
Yeah, we talk to our fans here as a fan, and this program is by fans, for fans, and of the game, the Canadian Football League game. We love the game. We think it's the best around. And it's good to hear from a young man like you, Eric Taylor, how interested you are. When you consider the fact that it didn't quite go the way you'd hoped, it says a lot for the league that you want to give it another chance. Even though, you know, you didn't make it, it serves you a great opportunity as a motivation, doesn't it, to give it another shot?
It does. It does. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I like to think of myself as being a very persistent guy. And like I said, I really honestly believe that I do have the talent, you know, right now at the stage that I am to compete at a high level and be very productive in the CFL. That's the reason I'm still going after it. I mean, but then again, what's not to love? I mean, I'm a receiver. And it's a league, you know, predominantly passing league. I mean, what's not to love about it? What receiver wouldn't want to be in the CFL and play all of their professional days in the CFL? I mean, the CFL is actually an awesome league.
Well, there's a couple of linebackers and cornerbacks that would make me not like it so much.
I get that. But you know, hey, you know what? There's a lot of them out there that pretty much loves it as far as a challenge. You know, where you know you got receivers waggling downhill at you as a defensive back, and you know they're full head of steam and they're out leveraged right off the back, and they're looking for anything, any indication, you know, in your route running or your route running ability, you know, to actually indicate what you're doing, where you're running, where you're going to. Some of them actually find that a great competition, you know, a challenge for them to actually conquer that. So, I mean, I think there are pretty much a lot of great defensive backs in the league, even though they're handicapped a little, you know, as far as the waggling and receivers running at them full speed. I think a lot of them actually love the challenge, and they step up for it.
Yeah, the waggle and the extra player on the field. First of all, first extra defender,
yeah,
if you will.
Yeah, that kind of threw me for a loop the first time.
Why is that? Why is just,
you know,
one? It's just
up.
One player. It's just one player, Eric.
Yeah, just one player. But it's a huge difference. You know, me growing up and playing ball, you know, I'm used to 11. You know, 11.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where, you know, as far as, you know, the different types of defenses, you know, you can pretty much assume and account for if they're running a cover 3 or a cover 2, you know, where the guys would be, you know, coming up to the CFL. I mean, they still play cover 3, they still play cover 2, but it's almost like you got to study film real hard to find out where that 12th guy is going to be, because, you know, it's not in our nature coming up to actually account for that. So that's why it was a huge challenge for me at first. But at the end of the day, I mean, just like they get an extra player, we get an extra player. So it all works out.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying, because, you don't pay as a receiver. Well, I guess this might not be a fair statement, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. You don't really care about where your guy is in regards to how he impacts on you other than part of your route, right? So I guess, yeah, defensively.
Exactly.
Defensively, it's a little different because, you know, quite frankly, there's an extra guy back there, and if you forget he's
exactly
there, he can come on, he can surprise you.
And a lot of times as a receiver you do, and the best defensive coordinators in the league, you know, do a great job of disguising that extra guy. You know, when it comes to quarterbacks reading the defenses, they do a great job of hiding them out and preventing them when it's possible. I mean, it makes it very interesting, and like I said, I mean, makes the league a lot more fun and addicting, if I will.
The CFL also, while not really that much, because, you know, small players can play in the NFL as well, so it's not something unusual. But the CFL is more about speed, isn't it, and being elusive.
Exactly. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you want speed as an offensive player, offensive skill player, you know, and by coaches actually knowing, you know, that's what the league is about. As a defensive coach, you want to go out and you want to get the same thing. You know, you want to get those speedy linebackers, those speedy defensive backs to counteract, you know, those speedy running backs and receivers on the offense. So, yeah, it's all about speed. I mean, the field is wider. The field is longer. It's a lot of space out there. So, I mean, how do you cover space? You cover space with speed. So it's pretty much self-explanatory.
Yeah, absolutely. And today's the wrong day to talk about it, but we will on Valentine's Day. We'll talk about separation. That's another reason why the wide field is such an advantage for the receiver, because you have more room to separate yourself from the defense.
Exactly. That's why I mentioned earlier, like, what receiver that loves running routes, loves catching passes, wouldn't love the CFL? What receiver wouldn't? It's their dream. You know, obviously, minus the extra defensive back, but yeah.
And minus the fact that not everybody makes the team.
Exactly. You're absolutely right.
That's another problem. But having said that, it's another opportunity to play professional ball. It's a well-respected type of professional ball. In your mind, you're still plenty young enough to play in the CFL. You got quite a few good years in front of you if you can get the chance that you get. the difference between you and other players that either make the team or if you make the team and they don't, the difference is so small. It's infinitesimal, isn't it? The difference between you and the next guy above you or the guy below you.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Like it's really not that big of a difference, you know, and it's other things. I guarantee skill is not like like the overwhelming you know thing that they go off of when it comes to making these decisions. It's pretty much coming down to, you know, who fits better in this particular position, or you know who can actually be suitable to back up, you know, this particular receiver, you know, in case he goes down. It's all about situation. It's less about skill,
totally.
Because like you said, you know, it's everybody's so close, the ones that are actually in there and the ones that are not in there, that it comes down to, you know, situational for, you know, pretty much the coaches, the general managers, you know, who fits best in that situation that they're actually trying to input someone in.
Preparation, hard work, and then take advantage of the opportunity given you.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tough too because there's also perceptions. I won't pretend to know what it's like to be a football player, but I will try to interpret what I've seen in my life following football. A lot of it has to do as well with who's got a contract, who doesn't have a contract, who's his guy. Who's the new guy? Who's the guy that came out of nowhere? And definitively, it really is less about the player. And I don't want to say it's who you know, but quite frankly, there are variables that have literally nothing to do with a guy's ability that end up maybe costing them an opportunity. For example, injuries. You have the wrong injury that slows you down. Even if it's not an injury that incapacitates you, if it's an injury that holds you back, you get no sympathy.
Exactly. And it's crazy, but like for you not saying, you know, not going to pretend like you played ball, I mean, you've hit the hammer on the nail. Like everything you said is completely true. Like I couldn't have said it better myself. But as far as the injury aspect part of it, you're absolutely right, you know. And it's not just with the CFL, it's with the NFL, you know. You got to find ways to whittle down, if you will, you know, your prospects, you know, because there's how many college athletes come out of college trying to pursue whether it's CFL or whether it's NFL ball, trying to play somewhere at the high level professionally. So it's sad, but in some way, you got to whittle down the prospects out of all of those potential prospects. And it's the smallest thing, the smallest little fraction that will actually count you out in some instances.
Yeah, and you know what? You rely, as a great player relies on a great coach to make the right decision. It's really easy to... go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead, yeah.
No, you're good, go ahead.
Okay. Well, it takes a great coach to make the right decision because it's very easy to look at a practice and or a tryout and watch an offensive player run against a defensive player and rip that defensive player to shreds and not make the team, and then have another defensive player come up against another offensive player, and the offensive player looks like he's having a bit of a hard time. Coaches have to make decisions based on variables that are really self-imposed. I mean, you know, how do you really judge a receiver because every defender is different? And then some receivers are better against certain defenders. So I don't know how I wouldn't have a heart attack trying to make a team and putting myself in your position. It has to be so tough because so much of it is out of your hands.
Exactly. It's like I mentioned, it's less about skill because if for one, in the beginning, if a professional team has brought you into their club and given you the opportunity to, you know, compete in training camp, obviously you've shown enough skill in your past for them to actually want to give you that shot to get there. So skill is pretty much the least variable when it comes to choosing. Now, the coaches have a lot of power. You're absolutely right. The coaches have a lot of power. They have a lot of pressure at the same time. Coaches get it wrong when it comes to, you know, choosing players. You know, they get it wrong often. But it's not mentioned because, you know, at times, and a lot more of the time, they actually get it right, you know, as
absolutely.
Far as choosing the players and the right fit. So, I mean, I guess what I need to start trying to say is the reality is, yes, you know what, the coaches, everybody, the whole staff has a lot of pressure as far as picking and choosing what fits their system, you know, which way they're trying to go and all of that type stuff. And, you know, a good deal of the time, they're right. But the reality is, what's not mentioned is, and not called upon, but a lot of the times they actually get it wrong as well. So, you know,
unfortunately for the player who's wronged, he doesn't get a second chance to prove
exactly,
the coach
exactly.
is wrong.
It's,
and that's what makes it so tough playing professional sports.
Yeah, but it's
oh, my goodness. We lost you, buddy. I'll call him back. And for now, I guess I'll bring John Granger in, and let me see who else we got here. I think that might be, yeah, I think it is Chris Jones, and I know it's Kelly Bale. Do I have the names right, guys?
Yeah.
So far.
Okay, good. All right. Well, do you guys have anything? I was going to bring you guys in just now to – I'll call him back. I mean, I lost him. I don't know how I lost him, but I did. But anyway, any comments thus far on what it's like for, you know, from your perspective, pro players getting the opportunity to, you know, I wasn't being nice to the guy. I was dead serious. It's hard, you know, to be a player trying out because, you know, a year depends on what happens in a short time. John,
what do
you
want to comment first, Frank?
Go ahead, you, John. Go ahead, you, John.
Well, first of all, I just want to say what an awesome intro to the show. By far the best so far. That's really cool. And it was really nice hearing Eric's insight and personal perspective on what, you know, a player goes through, his a mind trend, if you want to call it that. You know, the phase of being used to a certain system, and then learning this one and appreciating it. You know, we all talk about this, guys. If you just give the CFL some time and really kind of tune into it, you're going to fall in love with it. And it is kind of nice to hear when, you know, a guy who has been has football around him all his life and is used to a certain style and then comes up here and kind of really – and falls in love with it, and he's talking with a lot of passion, Frank, which is really cool to hear.
He sure is, and you know, it's not unusual for players to love a game that treats them well. And let's be honest here. And by the way, Eric is back. Eric, welcome back to the program. I don't know what happened. I lost you.
Yeah. Thanks. I don't know what happened either.
Yeah, I promise somewhere. I didn't hang up on you, I promise.
Okay.
But anyway, having said that, okay, I'd like to introduce you to the guys in the room, and, you know, and they'll have a question for you. We'll see what they have to ask you. These are fans. First of all, I got John Granger. He's an Argo fan, one of the people responsible for the boat logo page, which is the Argonaut boat logo page. We have Christopher, whom I referred to as Lion's Den Jones, and we have Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world, Townsend, and Kelly, Daddy-O Rough Rider fan, and I think I got all of you, right?
Yep.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
I didn't leave anyone out, right? Okay, first of all, John, say hi to our guest, Eric Taylor, former BC Lion, and now he tried out for the BC Lions in Seattle, and now he's... we'll be trying on March 1st out for the Ottawa Red Blacks.
Well, Eric, hi again. So we've already talked. And you didn't hear, I just commented about really appreciating your insight and personal perspective on how you more or less fell in love with the league. And the passion that you, the way you talk is really, really pretty cool to hear. And the fact that, you know, a guy like you who's grown up having football, you know, part of his life, all his life, is now kind of tuned into a different league and is, by sounds of it, is pretty passionate about wanting to play here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, after getting a taste of it early on following college, it's football like I've never experienced that. Sure, you know, we grew up and we watched, you know, the NFL on TV, and, you know, every American is like, I want to be there, I want to be there, you know. But the cold hard reality is, you know, everybody is not going to be there. And being experienced or being brought into, like, this experience as far as the CFL, I mean, other than the financial thing, I mean, you find, you know, players up here in the CFL that are just as talented as NFL players. So, I mean, it's actually a pretty good league, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, take the finances away as far as how much they're actually paying players, then, you know, hey, I think we got the same league almost without the, you know, extra defender, obviously. But, yeah, it's almost one and the same if you ask me.
That's good cool. enough answer, John.
That's good. That's pretty
okay,
cool.
Okay, how about Kelly Bell? You got a question for our guest, Eric Taylor, former BC Lion?
No, just basically want to introduce myself. How you doing, Eric?
Hello, how are you?
Not too bad, man. Just wanted to say I do remember hearing your name the first go-around in BC. I'm a guy that likes to participate in training camp and everything here in Regina, and just want to welcome you back to the league, man, and look forward to seeing you out there this year on the field. Go get that
Thanks
job,
a lot,
my
man.
Friend.
Thanks a lot.
Also, we have somebody you might know, Christopher Jones, Lion's Den, Christopher Jones. Christopher?
Hello, Eric.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Pretty good, buddy. Yeah, it was you and I that started all of this talking away, and I introduced you over to Frank. We talked for quite some time the other night. Yes, I do remember you as a Lion, of course. I also remember the new Eric Taylor that we have in there, which is a defensive tackle. I actually thought we had them confused at 1 minute, but I think there's about 100 pounds or so difference, and I'm sure that I am Eric. So we did establish that. It was kind of a little freaky for me at a bit. Beginning. One of the conversations that we did have was about you playing indoor league in Alaska, and that has piqued my interest immensely. I'd love you to talk to the boys about the passion, the enthusiasm for football in the great state of Alaska, and I would love to see a CFL team up there.
Alaska, I could do without the negative 48 degrees weather up there, but when it come time for, you know, football around there, and, you know, first and foremost, the indoor football league is very interactive. You know, it's strictly for the football players, obviously, but, you know, they want the fans to get as much of it or out of it as possible. And man, I've played in a couple of arena teams, and there are no fans in the arena league like the Fairbanks, Alaska fans. Like, It's snowy up there. It's snow everywhere. You're indoors in this little building, and the roof is literally off the place with every hit or with every catch. Like, it's a great experience, and I think up there in Alaska, they really appreciate football itself. You know, so yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good experience for me.
Yeah, we know about hockey teams that play up there, Chris or Eric. What kind of college players come out of Alaska, if any?
Football.
I think there was a NBA basketball player that was pretty good that came out of there. I think he may even be on his way to the Hall of Fame or something. He was pretty much a shooting guard or something. But I forget his name. Just being up there, you know, they actually have, like, little things about him. But it's been a while, so, you know, I actually forget. But, you know, go ahead.
You got two, actually, that came out of Alaska, Carlos Boozer and Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, Boozer's a great player. Gomez came
out of Alaska?
Yep, Anchorage.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Well, that's why we have Mike here, because if it's football, if it's indoor, Mike's the man.
Eric, I got a question for you. Did you play for the Alaska Wild?
No, I played for the Fairbanks Grizzlies.
Oh, okay. What indoor league were they affiliated with?
Indoor football league, the IFL.
The IFL, that's what I thought. I was up here thinking about it. I'm like, was it the Wild or the Fairbanks Grizzlies? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it was the Grizzlies.
Okay. So, go ahead, Frank, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mike. No, go ahead.
What I was asking, you played for the BC Lions. When was the last time that you was on a CFL roster?
It was 2010.
2009.
I think it was 2009. The last time I was on the roster.
Oh, I think it was 2009.
And you're about to try for the Red Blacks. If that's what I heard. The Red Blacks. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Red Blacks.
Well, I hope that you make the roster, and I hope that you make it back to the CFL. If things happen not to go your way, man, do you have any more arena indoor football aspirations left to play in the indoor league, or what's the next step?
I kind of want to move away from the arena. I think my next step would be definitely coaching. I mean, it's always been the plan after, you know, I was done playing ball. I actually wanted to, you know, coach, give back, you know, possibly, you know, ultimately make it to, you know, the collegiate level of some sort. But yeah, just basically coaching and that's my plan B.
Okay. Well, I hope you make the Red Blacks, man. I hope you make the squad, man. See you back in the CFL.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
No problem, brother.
Well, they got two quarterbacks right now. They could use more receivers.
Of course they could. So I mean, all I can do is go down and showcase my talent and skill. I mean, and if they see fit to, you know, that I can help their organization in some form or another, they'll do the rest, you know. So.
Well, we wish the best for you. Now, who else we got here? I did John. I guess we've all
that's
asked
everybody.
The question. Yeah, that's everybody.
You got Bruce.
Well,
yet?
Actually, I had Bruce John Inch in the room, and then he disappeared as I was going to ask him. That's why you got the hesitation you did from me. I'm trying to call him again to see if he answers. It doesn't look like he's going to. Oh no, there it is. Call completed. We'll see if it's his answer machine or him.
He's not
Bruce,
available.
Would that be you?
At the tone.
Oh, there you go. There's
please
the
record your message.
Hey, Bruce.
Bruce, where are you?
Dude.
Jeez, we're looking
Come
for
on,
you.
Come on, man. Come on, where are you? Holy crap.
Come on, Bruce.
Right,
what the hell? Oh, hey,
yeah,
Frank,
no.
Watch your tongue.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so now, I guess, Eric, we talked about your previous experience in the CFL. We talked about your desire to be in the CFL. We talked a little bit about, you know, your indoor football league experience. What is it about indoor football that basically it sounds to me, why do you feel like you know, been there and done that?
I have been there and done that. You know, I've accomplished a lot, like in the indoor league. My name is pretty much known in the IFL, and if I wanted to drop everything right now, you know, based on my previous seasons, there's a handful of coaches I can call, and they'd be glad to welcome me with open arms based on, you know, previous seasons. So, I mean, that's pretty much why I feel that way. You know, I mean, it's there. It's not like they're actually paying a lot of money to actually play. I mean, you do it, like I told you, to actually stay in shape and to possibly get them to catch the eye of scouts, being that there are some, you know, similarities as far as CFL arena, you know, as far as the receivers with their waggle motions and that type of stuff, and the defensive backs there with their catching technique. So, I mean, I think it is like a training tool to actually assess, you know, players that wants to actually compete at the CFL level. But like I said, I feel like I've been there and I've done it, because pretty much I really have. You know, I led the league in receiving touchdowns in a year. I mean, in all-purpose yards a year. I mean, I've pretty much done everything there that needs to be done, you know, in that league. You know, and also, you know, it's kind of a negative, because it's not like CFL scouts in particular, you know, play high regards to, you know, the film coming out of there. Yeah, there are some similarities, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, CFL scouts or you know, any officials that are actually in a position to weigh in on the film and review film from the IFL or any arena league, you know, there is some, you know, perception that, you know, the talent is not up to par, you know, so you can't really just say, you know what, this guy here is dominant, he's good, he's wrecking this league, we should give him a shot. Because initially in their mind, the first thing before even watching that film is, you know, hey, man, you know what, the competition is not up to par in that league. So, yeah, that's why I would probably not lean back towards the IF. I've gotten all the film that I can possibly get out of there. So it's either, you know, go big now or it's over with.
Okay, so it appears you've made it very clear. The indoor game is not your cup of tea. It's not something you want to perform in long term. You want to give the CFL your total attention and give it all you got to get on there. And if you can get on a team, whether it be the Red Blacks or the BC Lions or even our Toronto Argonauts — when I say our, I mean my Toronto Argonauts and John's Toronto Argonauts, they're the same Toronto Argonauts.
Yeah.
that's what you want to do. And I respect the fact that you know what you want and you're going to go after it. And, you know, my advice to my children and to anyone that asks me is, it's better anyway that you focus on what you want to do and sharpen your focus to the point where you don't lose any benefit of concentrating on one particular thing. Sometimes if you basically spread yourself out too thin, you don't end up anywhere. So, yeah, I respect the way your approach. I respect your approach. That doesn't mean, and I'm not talking for you
that.
In any way. Yeah, it doesn't mean that if it doesn't work out in the CFL, you know, that you would that you wouldn't go back to indoor football. But at this point, your main focus, your center focus, your only focus really is making it to the CFL and giving it everything you got. And should it not work out, then coaching would be in your future. And it sounds like you could coach in indoor football, but your preference would be to coach in collegiate ball.
Exactly.
Okay.
Hey, Frank, I got one more question to ask him, if you don't mind.
Please, feel free. No, don't mind.
I just want to know, Eric, man, have you or how was it playing against guys like Chris Dixon and Houston Lillard, man? I need to know.
those guys. I mean, I personally didn't, like, play defense. Obviously, you know that I played offense, so when they were on the field, I would watch them. But, Chris Dixon, that guy is, I don't know what's the knock on him as far as at the next level, but speaking of somebody that's been there, done it all, like in the arena game, Chris Dixon is one of those guys. He's, what, four-time MVP of the IFL. He's won, what, four championships. He's led the league in passing. Like, how do you not actually give this guy a shot, you know, at the CFL? That's what's going through my mind. Houston Lillard is, he was in the same division with me. He's, he's an athletic guy. You know, he's undersized, obviously, both of them as quarterbacks. But I think Chris Dixon is more of a seasoned dual threat guy than Lillard. I mean, you're not gonna look at Lillard and say, oh, you know, he possesses the threat to run. He will run, but that's not something that you're really concerned about. But as far as Dixon is pretty much hands down. You know, he's possibly the greatest quarterback to ever come through. You know, the IFL. You know, the guy, he definitely has the credentials. He's proved it time after time again. The guy is a great competitor.
Wow. Yeah. Because I just always wondered, man, why he never got a chance. Why both of them actually never got a chance in the CFL, man. Because I think Chris could be a good quarterback in the CFL. So Houston Lillard, man, with a little bit more coaching. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's what I said. I don't know what's the knock with what scouts have, like, on Chris Dixon or, you know, what's his background saying. But, and then if you go back and look at all of his accolades from being in the IFL and look at all of the film he's generated, the throws he's made, the guy can throw the ball. The guy is a dual threat guy. He's a fast guy. You know, I think he would be fitting, you know, for the CFL. Same as Houston. You know, Houston is the same way. I mean, I don't know. It's got to be something deeper, you know, as far as, you know, I don't know if, like, you know, in the NFL, when you're being scouted, they're coming up to draft, you know, they have some athletes that they say have character issues or what have you. I don't know what it is. But to me, I think it's something deeper because the guy has all the tools, if you ask me, to actually play in the CFL, both of them. But why do they not give those guys a shot? I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
Frank, I'm done with my questions. He answered my questions.
Well, that's cool. that's awesome. Okay. Listen, my friend Eric Taylor, real pleasure meeting you, Christopher. Thank you for the lead, and. We wish you the best of luck. I hope to see you on the field either visiting the Toronto Argonauts or maybe even part of the Toronto Argonauts. Regardless, I wish you the best in your football career. I really do.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Thanks, Eric, man.
That's Eric Taylor. Eric Taylor, a football player for, of course, in the IFL, sorry, in the Indoor Football League, and he has aspirations of playing in the CFL. He has tried out for the BC Lions in Seattle. He will be doing the same thing on March 1st in Seattle to, quite frankly, try to make the Red Blacks team, and then probably there'll be another place for him to try out, as does happen with a lot of these football players. And as we discussed with him, the difference between a player who doesn't make a team and does is infinitesimal. It is literally, you know, we saw it in the Olympics where there was actually a tie to the thousandth of a second. And quite frankly, to the thousandth of a second, there are players that don't make the team and those that do. It's a real difficult thing. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to come back and talk about the CFL. At the top of the hour, we have another guest tonight, and his name is Andrew J. Allen. He'll be at a combine with the Chicago Bears, the coach of the Bears, of course, Mark Trestman, former Montreal Alouette head coach.
Andrew Allen.
Sound familiar?
Wow.
You know what, I think we had him on the show. 20 at halftime means sweet, diddly, jack, squat. Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it, they know it. Tucked into their little beds tonight, they don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. Well, it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical.
The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You having a little popcorn?
You know, we don't spend enough time on a weekly basis because of the guests. We haven't had a chance to do some stories on the outside, and we always will go on and on and on about our favorite subject here. But my favorite subject when it comes to the CFL is the fan.
Eric, the Argo.
All right, Eric, first day in Tampa. What were your impressions of what you saw today?
Oh, it was pretty good, man. Just getting acclimated, learning the defense and getting with the guys. It was a great time. It's a great time to be out with the guys.
What did Coach Milanovic talk to you about? What is he hoping that you can bring to this team?
You know, speed, you know, what I've been doing the past 4 years, bring playmaking ability and just within the system and, you know, just fit right in.
Talk to me about last year you didn't play, is that correct?
Yep, I was out 2011. I actually suffered a real bad injury, and it took a while for me to come back from that. But, yeah, I was out last year rehabbing and just staying in shape. And, you know, I'm just excited to get back on the football field, man.
Is there a mental aspect at all coming back from an injury like that you suffered, convincing yourself that you're good to go and you can play to the level you once did?
It is because, you know, right after my injury, I kind of rushed and I had a couple of workouts for different teams, but I wasn't really ready yet mentally. But now, you know, just getting past that, you know, getting more confidence and getting the mental.
I'm with Lori Versi, Friends of the Argonauts. What a great week this is going to be, huh?
Oh, it's tremendous. It brings the current guys and the past guys together, and they can share stories and likenesses, and it's just so exciting. It really is.
Lori, we all Argo fans couldn't wait for 83. 83 came, and it was a great. It was a surprise. I know a lot of people looking back, they had everything, you know. But we always were worried about the Argos. That Argo chant was always about how they lost the game. It was amazing how that team just held on and played as well as they did.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the same with the Argo bounce. Back then, the Argo bounce was a very negative thing. And today, it's more of a positive thing. So I can hear people around me saying, oh, Argo bounce, Argo bounce. And it's a positive thing for the Argos, just like the chant. So, you know, it goes in waves. And the same word or the same phrase can mean totally different things depending on how the team is performing.
Well, it's comparable to the Boston Red Sox, the curse of the Bambino curse.
Right.
And with the Argos, we seem to always have something go wrong. But since 83, this team has turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
They've had trouble, you know, with ownership and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in between, they've always had championships.
Mm-hmm.
They've won for the fans. And this is really nice to have them come back and say hello and thank you again.
It is. And, you know, Jeff Keeping alluded to it, talking about, you know, after having won in Montreal last year, he knew that they were going to win the Grey Cup, and so did I. Outside of 1987, as long as we make it to the Grey Cup, we win it. We always win it. So after that huge win in Montreal, I was calm. I knew. I was calm all week, and I knew we were going to win the Grey Cup.
It's great. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Frank.
That is Lori Bursey, and in every stadium and in every city, every CFL team, there is a super fan that works diligently behind the scenes to ensure the fan experience is better and better. Lori is one of those people that helps it happen with the Toronto Argonauts. Another one would be John Granger, but he can't afford a battery that lasts long enough to sit through the whole program. Unfortunately, his battery died, as did, by the way, Bruce John Inches, which is why he can't be on. And he wants to wish everybody, and I'm sure both of them want to wish everybody, a very happy Family Day weekend. And now we lost somebody else.
Here.
Well, why not? Okay, so it's Kelly, Frank, and Mike for another 11 minutes, and then we'll bring in Andrew.
No.
Huh?
This is Christopher. I'm here.
Christopher, Christopher, Kelly, and Mike. Right, Kelly, you're here, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm here too, Frank.
Okay. Well, we've lost a couple of people, and that's okay. One of which was John. He's gone. Steve Richardson wants to say hello. Hello, Steve. John's advice is that He's advised us that his phone has gone. So has Bruce John Inch. They want us to know that it's a happy family day. Jared Harris, I mentioned him that I need a ticket tomorrow for the Rock game because I freed up my Saturday. And now I'll be able to go to the Rock game, which I'm looking forward to. But for now, let's talk about the CFL. You know who we haven't heard from is Manasseh. Manasseh must be busy. Friday night at the restaurant, it's got to be a real busy night. We've got Montreal has brought back McKelvey, which, I don't know, Jermaine McKelvey, is he a difference maker, Christopher?
Who?
Kelly, is he a difference maker?
Oh, yeah, for sure he is. This guy was a beast in Hamilton and came over here and played in a rotation system on the D-line. You know, when he got in there, he got some pressure and he got his hands up, just what's expected of him, right? So, like, not only can he just do what's expected of him, he goes above and beyond. He was part of the attack last year toward the end there. And, you know, a lot of people are really, really, really sad to see him go.
Well, he did. He was busy, you know. He made a lot of defensive tackles. He's a guy who's a character guy. He's a guy that that is a good influence inside the dressing room, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fantastic guy to have in the community. I mean, I talked to him today, actually, and I said, you know, just kind of on Facebook there or whatever, good luck and congratulations. And, you know, he took his time and he messaged me back and, you know, he definitely was associated with two or three programs in Regina last year, so we're definitely going to lose him.
Miss him anyway, yeah. Yeah, well, maybe I'll try this one. I'll try this one on Christopher. Johnson, BC Lions
Jamal.
On Friday announced, that they have signed Jamal Johnson. That has
great.
To make you happy, doesn't it?
JJ's coming home.
There you go.
It does it away. You know, when I first heard it, I went, yeah, I know. Wally cut this guy loose already once. But, you know, he grew in Hamilton. He became a great linebacker over there. He's learned a whole lot, and he was very young when he was in BC, and we were very deep in our linebacker positions. And I'm sure that JJ's going to come in here, and we're probably going to Tom McKenzie. 32-year-old linebacker is probably not going to be playing this year. The other option, of course, a lot of people are saying is that BC is looking at going to a 3-4 defense. I don't see that, but then we still don't have Kieran Williams signed, so anything's possible at this point in time. But, yes, I am excited to see JJ back in the fold, back where he belongs, back home at BC.
And I want to make everybody feel at home. So now, Mike, I hit Kelly first, then Christopher, and now I'll hit you. A young man, well, not young, but an average-aged young man, Craig Butler, promises that he's going to do his part to turn your Hamilton Tiger Cats into a winning team.
I hope so. Having a guy like Butler in the backfield, man, it's going to solidify that cornerback core. The defense was pretty good last year, bend don't break. But I think after Austin went to the Grey Cup, to see how Darian Durant kind of bombed him out when they got tired, I think he said, you know, we got to get the defensive core together because I can't afford to get bombed out like I did before. So I think by adding him to that backfield, it's gonna solidify it a little bit. Like I said, they're building to beat the West. So, you know, Austin's doing a good job bringing in the players that he needs.
Well, maybe not to beat the West, but a team that needs to bring in numbers more than not that they can't be quality, but you know, when you're bringing in as many players as the Red Blacks are, you know, you're hoping that they don't all have to be gems, but they're hoping that a few of them are gems. They brought another 5 new players in. Usually in training camp rosters are as high, almost up to 100, low 90s at least. And so, you know, when you're starting with whatever it was, I guess, 12 players they got, no, 3 times 7, 21 play, no, 3 times 8, 24 players in the draft. They sign a few free agents. You're still not at 30 with that. So they've got to bring in another 60 guys. Well, they brought another five guys. Are you guys aware of the guys they brought in, and is there anybody that, you feel could be a real key player? They've brought in five more players. They brought, let's see here, it says here they brought in Brandon Lang, who's a defensive lineman, defensive back Bo Smith. They're both CFL veterans, so they're guys that are known within the league, along with three wide receivers, Eric Rogers, DJ Woods, and Jason Bruce. And those guys are not as well known. We talked to a guy who's trying out at receiver with the Red Blacks. These are three more guys that they're bringing in to see if they stick. They really do have to come in with a lot of bodies at first. I mean, until they get them on the field, they really don't know what they've got, do they, guys? And I'll start with you, Mike. Ottawa doesn't know what they have yet. They're just bringing bodies in because they have to have them there so they've got something to compare against.
Mike's gone.
Okay, I'll try. Mike's
no, gone. I'm here. I couldn't hear you because my phone is breaking up in a bad area. You're right. You have to bring in some bodies to see what you're going to have. I mean, you know, expansion team, trying to get good product on the field, you know. A lot of the guys, like the guy Eric Taylor, you're bringing him in, and then a lot of guys that's, you know, not being so well-known as trying to make these rosters, you're trying to find that diamond in the rough that can actually make your squad and to improve your squad. So I give credit to the Red Blacks for bringing in some guys because they want to compete this year. They don't have the pressure on them, but they want to compete. Same as Hamilton bringing in the guys that they try to get in to fit their roster. So, you know, I'm just like, hey, man, bring them in, see what they can do, and hopefully you can find what you're looking for.
Kelly, in an expansion team, in your opinion, do you think that they bring in a lot of players and they jettison them a little quicker than other teams will? Do you think the level of patience that the Ottawa Red Blacks will have, management, Desjardins in particular, will he be very patient with the guys he brings in, or will he be impatient and has already plan B, or, you know, a list of plan B players?
Oh, for sure. You have to remember, like, every team's going to bring about 80, 90 guys to camp, right? So, you know, amongst the cuts, there's a lot of guys. They can build their team late or they can build it now. But I think there's advantages to, you know, kind of, you know, if you don't like the looks of a guy right away, may as well just let him go, right? And, you know, I think those guys that they have brought in, they're definitely players. I mean, Bo Smith, no slouch, and I can't remember, who was the first player you mentioned on that list of guys, Frank?
I mentioned the first player, defensive lineman Brandon Lang.
Yeah, Lang is really good. I mean, yeah, like, these guys are guys I could definitely see competing for jobs on the field next year and winning them. You know, so they've already got, I'm going to say they've already got 10 guys that are going to be on the field minimum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would go as high as they probably already have.
15.
They've already signed, I'd say, I'd go as high as 25. They've already got that they know they're going to have. You know,
yeah.
I can't see them. You know why? I can't see them cutting loose guys that played for teams last year, being in the position that they're in. You know, being in the position that they're in. You know, because they're going to have to default to CFL experience, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And this guy, Eric Rogers, that they brought in, he was on the NFL roster, and then later he was in the Arena League. So, you know, this guy going to have some experience from the NFL coming in, even if he was a practice roster player. He got a year in the NFL.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, I just don't happen to think, and this is, you know, and I, as part of the interview that I mentioned, is the difference between the players that don't make the team and do make the team is very small. There's not much difference between a guy who makes the team and doesn't make the team. When you consider there's some 150, 200,000 football players that could play in the CFL right now. And if I said that, people thought I was crazy saying that. I don't think I'm crazy saying that.
No,
that's
you,
how
no,
many
not,
players. That's the pool that they're going in, and then what happens is then it's a question of the biggest problem is do they fit in? You know, it's not so much
are
about
they
talent.
Professional?
Yeah, you know, all that wonderful stuff, right?
Yeah.
And you know, because you know, and it's matchups. Not you know, just like matchups you have in a game between the offense and the defense, you also have to have a matchup between the quarterback and the receivers, you know, the running back and the line, whatever the line, you know. Different running backs, you know, you can't say, and no one can say, that the same running back is going to have the same success with different kinds of situations with lines, right? One running back is probably more effective with a different line. So it's about finding that combination that works for you. And the trouble with being a coach is you can only presume the chemistry. You don't know it exists. And what makes a good coach is great is when they can recognize chemistry before they actually hit the ground. You know, hitting the ground running is what makes coaches really good. You know, I've watched a practice last year up close, and I don't even know how they even know who they're looking at when you consider how many players are out there. There's a lot of
well,
important depending. You're depending on your own
you know,
assistant coaches.
You know, like you said, Frank, a lot of players are out there, and how many people you're watching. You know what? I think that's why we have all them assistant coaches and
guest coaches,
special teams players. Yeah, guest coaches. They watch. they seeing something that you're missing. You know, and you're right. I mean, because I'm not mistaken, you have over almost 100 players in camp. So you know, you got to actually have a close watch on what you're looking for, the weaknesses, the strengths. I mean, it's a lot to partake in these training camps. These coaches, they got it in for them, man. I mean, they got their hands tied in training camp this year. So, you know, releasing players and signing and making sure to keep the right ones, oh, man, it's going to be brutal this year for all teams.
Yeah, but the spinoff is that there's a really positive spinoff in that the talent pool just gets that much better because there's a bunch of new jobs in the CFL this year, both American and non-import, and that makes our talent pool better as a league.
Yes, sir. I agree totally, Kelly. Hey, is Chris still here?
Yeah, Chris
is
still
here.
Oh, okay.
He's just like waiting for Frank to ask me my opinion. He hasn't done that, so I'm just sitting patiently like this.
Okay, your turn, Chris.
Well, first off, I want to go take a step back, and I want to talk about Hamilton and what they've done. I know, Mike, that was Mike's territory, and you jumped over to Ottawa, but I just want to touch base on that. I picked Hamilton to win the Grey Cup in 2014. I did that. They're going to play BC at home in BC. Hamilton, Ted Austin has recognized that his defense sucks and has done something serious about it. And I do another team that has built themselves to the state that Hamilton has done in this league. And I, you know, Mike says they're building a team to beat the West. I think the West needs to build a team to beat Hamilton. They're scaring me.
You got a point there, Chris. You got a point there. They're getting some good free agents, man.
I'm not sure they're going to get – I'm not out of competition in the East. Sorry, Frank, but you know what? I really don't. I think they're just going to walk away in that Eastern Division this year.
I really hope they agree with you.
It may take a couple weeks for Caleros to get his feet in the ground with the new people and new everything else in there. But you know what? I think they're just going to go. So,
yeah.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope that the Hamilton team and the GM think they've got a lock on making it to the Grey Cup. That'll be the best opportunity for Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto to broadside them. Last year at this time, I predicted that the Argos would get blindsided by Hamilton if they didn't take Hamilton seriously, and they did get blindsided by Hamilton, but it wasn't because they didn't take them seriously. They had injuries. And this year, the same is true. Hamilton right now sits as the favorite. I can't dispute that at all. They sit as the favorite. But as every favorite learns from time to time, it's only, it's only an opportunity, not a guarantee. You know, 2 years ago, Saskatchewan had, I think they had as good a team 2 years ago as they did this year. They just didn't get the same kind of breaks they got this year. They were healthy at the right time this year. They had a couple of key players that helped put them over the top. But I really don't think there was much difference in the greatness of the team that Saskatchewan had 2 years ago as in last year. I don't know, Kelly, if you see things my way, but, you know, that's the way I see it anyway.
You know, in reflection of the year, I think everybody in Saskatchewan has really agreed that the two players that really stepped forward the most from 2012 to 2013 were the off-season acquisition of Weldon Brown from the Eskimos. Came in at linebacker and played outstanding football for us all year long, special teams as well, just played. And the other one is definitely, our guy, number 33, DA. I mean, he definitely stepped it up, and he was definitely an improvement at that spot last year. So, you know, a lot of people are saying losing Butler is going to kill us. Well, it is in the long term, but in the short term, I think we'll be able to find a patch that isn't going to be a problem. You know, we got Brackenridge and got a couple other guys we're looking at that position. So,
you figure Tyron can handle it?
Well, linebacker, he did the previous year. You know what I mean? Like, he would be filling in for Butler at linebacker.
That's what I'm saying. I just happen to think that I believe, and you know, it was tougher for them to win last year than it was the year before.
Yeah, he was an all-star linebacker the year before. First year in the league.
It was tougher for Saskatchewan had a tougher road last year than they had the year before. To win.
Yep.
They just were healthy and they caught it. And I think the fact that they lost the year before was what helped them, you know, guys like Darian Durant that filled their resolve, you know, that gave him that extra little motivation, right? That's all I mean by what I'm saying.
And you know what? Also, who helped Saskatchewan get over that hump from the year before last, man, you got to give it up to Todd Smith, man. Todd Smith really helped that offense. He really stepped up this year, man, as an elite receiver for the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that.
It was pretty
solid. We have to give a lot of credit to Andre Prue, too.
What I will say is this: when it comes to Taj Smith, aside from the sidebar, what I will say is this: is that the fear of Taj Smith caused the defenses to leave openings for other players on the team. So you know, a lot of times the success of a player isn't so much what they do on the score sheet; it's what the defenses are forced to do to keep them off the score sheet.
That's right.
Well, correct. You know, that's exactly what happened to G. Roy Simon, right? G. Roy Simon got his first two touchdowns in a Grey Cup game. Why? Because there was better receivers on the team that the defense was focusing on. They had Weston Dressler. They had Chris Getzlaff. They had Ty Smith. They had to focus on them. G. Roy was just kind of standing around going, hey, yo, nope, look at it. Hey, Rob Banks, look, I'm wide open. Throw me the ball. And Darian did, right? Where before, when he was BC's number one receiver, he was double-teamed all the time, sometimes even triple-teamed. That's why he never got a touchdown in a Grey Cup game. But now that he's lost a step, he's not quite as quick, he's getting older, everything else, pay any attention to him, and he's just standing around going, hey, yo, throw me the ball. And they did. Good for them. Right? I mean,
that's one of the situations that Christopher, that you have where the players are overrated and the GM is underrated. And somewhere in between what I just said lies the coach. You know, it's very easy for a player to look good or bad. You know, it's about the GM giving the coach the right tools that he needs to make the team look good. And Saskatchewan was a well-built team, solid in every facet of the game. They were overloaded at receiver, like Christopher pointed out. They didn't need G-Roy Simon. I don't think they did. But he helped win the Grey Cup because he was that one extra weapon that, you know, had the moxie to even though you don't want to, you might not want to give him that much credit for being in the open, I think he deserves some credit because, you know, fifth in the depth chart of defensive players, he took care of.
I think my point here, Frank, isn't so much that nobody's paying attention to him. The depth of the receivers, usually when you get to your fifth
receiver. We agree. No, I understood your point.
He's a college guy, right? I mean, G-Roy's been
I understood your point. I totally understood your point. You're 100% right. I'm not saying no to what you said. What I'm saying differently is that a great player like G-Roy Simon, while he might be in the twilight of his career, is not bad as a fourth option.
No, he's not, especially being a veteran that been to the Grey Cup. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, if you want a wily veteran on your team, why not pick up a G-Roy Simon? He can get these young guys in tight. I mean, he's the veteran receiver that you need to keep these guys on their heels and on their toes.
He's the best in the league. Brilliant move by Talman. It was brilliant to pick him up. They're making a run for the cup. Why would you not want somebody in there with that kind of experience? I mean, brilliant.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And, his experience is something that gets shared
overpaid
with the other receivers as well. Of course he was overpaid. But you know what? Sometimes players earn being overpaid, just like players don't get paid enough. You know, it's all part of the political process.
I mean, come on, man, that's G-Roy Simon, man. He got paid on his years of production alone. That's what he got paid for. I mean, come on,
okay.
He's reliable.
I agree with you, okay? I'm going to ask you a question, though. Who would you have rather had on your team? You had Chris Williams, who was whining and crying because he was only making $45,000, or G-Roy Simon making $200,000. Who would you have rather had on your team last year?
G-Roy?
Yeah, but Chris, yeah.
No,
wow.
No way.
No way. Seriously, G-Roy. If I need me a veteran receiver, I'm going with G-Roy.
Well, they needed him. They needed the locker room guy, guys.
They needed the guy that could, you know, Taj Smith, you can't tell me that Taj Smith didn't have any conversation with G-Roy.
Oh, guaranteed. He learned a lot.
Right.
Like, and I tell
that's what they paid for.
Oh, yeah, this year and last year, you know, you better believe that Darian was told to work on that deep ball. You know, like he got considerably better in the offseason last year at throwing that deep ball. And that's where it improved more than Tosh Smith is the man, I think. He makes a lot of spectacular catches, but, you know, I don't see him as, let's say, 5 straight 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Like, I don't see that out of him. But,
it seems kind of strange that I'm going to tell you how good a Saskatchewan player is, Kelly, but what I will say is this. I feel in a strange position. I really do. Taj Smith, all right, he's a quality receiver with a little bit of experience. He is going to be a Hall of Famer. The thing about him is that if you can only put one guy on that guy, he's going to make some spectacular catches. And he made a few live in front of me, a matter of 90 feet away. And I got a real good eyeful of how spectacular and how much concentration this guy has in him. You know, he's full of spectacular. He's a highlight reel. Let's not kid ourselves. G-Roy Simon is a great receiver, and I can't imagine him. He came up with a highlight pass in that same game that I'm referring to, and again, not more than 100 feet away from where I was, 50 feet from where I was. He made a catch. He took a major hit. And he made a catch, making a major hit here in at the Rogers Center. So these are things that players, you know, when they, you know, we get to watch them play, we don't get to see them talk. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of talking going on, and a guy like G-Roy Simon, I can't believe they didn't bring him into Saskatchewan to talk to these receivers, because they had last year. Taj Smith wasn't a known quantity, was he, Kelly?
Well, we just knew about him. I mean, he's been with us since 2012, so...
But he had a kind of a breakout year this year, didn't he? Wouldn't that be fair?
That's right. Yeah, it'd be fair to say. I think he had about 400 yards the previous year.
I think Todd Smith was brought in because, if you remember, Saskatchewan leading receiver for the last couple of years before that was Ephraim Hill, and he got released. And that's when Todd Smith got into the starting lineup, when Ephraim Hill was released. And he was able to show what he can do on the field. And he had
the tool.
Yeah,
he
had
the tool. Which brings us again to the comment that I made before, which I believe in 100%. I don't believe in this player's awesome, coach's awesome, GM's awesome. I believe that all three are necessary. You can't do it without three of them being on the same page. The GM brought in a guy like him, you know, the Taj Smith kind of guy, and, you know, the coach could work with him, and the quarterback could throw to him. And like you said, Kelly, they made sure that their quarterback understood, you know, what he had and what he needed to do. And G. Roy Simon was, I think, the period at the end of the sentence that said, look, you're going to have some quality receivers. You're going to have to do something deep. You can't rely on those 10, 15-yard passes anymore.
Mm-hmm. The experienced guy that's been in the league can tell him about it. I mean, because if you think about it, with G. Roy's experience and also, you know, being in Winnipeg for his first couple of years under Milt Stegall's, he learned a lot from Milt Stegall just being in Winnipeg for a couple of years he was there. I mean, come on, who better not to learn from than Milt Stegall, the best that ever did it as far as I'm concerned. I would love to be a receiver and have Milt Stegall on my team.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. He's one of the best players ever in the CFL. Just ask him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, he took what Milt Stegall taught him. He took it to B.C., And he ran with it. That's why I said, if it were me, I would rather have G. Roy than Chris Williams any day. I want that experience. The youth is good, but I want that experience.
I'm going to agree with you, but only on the short term. If you have a long-term need, yeah, you go with Chris Williams, let's be honest. But a short-term need, which is Saskatchewan needed. Saskatchewan needed a short-term, like, Their Chris Williams was Taj Smith. They didn't need Chris Williams. They had Taj Smith. What they needed was a guy to help Taj Smith, you know, find his way. And I agree with Kelly that G. Roy was a locker room guy, and I think G. Roy helped Taj Smith out a whole bunch. And don't lose sight on the fact that he probably helped Darian as well. I mean, Darian has to respect a guy like, you know, G. Roy Simon.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you know what? I think at the time, I think that's what Hamilton was lacking, an experienced receiver. Because if you have an experienced receiver like that on your team, he's the type of guy that can go to Chris Williams and be like, you know, be quiet. Let your play speak for itself. Let it earn you a bigger paycheck. Just be quiet and let's roll with the punches. But Hamilton didn't have that. That's the reason why guys like Chris Williams and a couple other guys like Bags, they get the bop off at the mouth, and then they get released.
Can you imagine, Mike, Kelly, Christopher, can you imagine if they had Chris Williams and they'd sorted things out in the off season, and he had started the season with Hamilton and played the season with Hamilton?
Wow.
There may not have been a great cup in Saskatchewan. There may not have been a great cup in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, you're right.
It wouldn't have been that easy. It wouldn't have been, definitely wouldn't have been that easy.
It would have been a totally different season for everybody.
The Argos wouldn't have finished first because the early season losses that Hamilton suffered were because they didn't get the clutch receiving they needed early. You know, I remember Burris in Toronto throwing his arms up in the air, thinking he made a great pass and it should have been caught and it wasn't. You know, a catch gets made that day, and instead of them, you know, thundering towards a playoff spot at the end of the year, they might have thundered towards first place finish instead, because it was close. You know, it was a close finish. But you know, The Argos, as an Argo fan, my biggest disappointment was the season was the key injuries at the wrong time. So, you know, then again, you know, Hamilton could have had a tougher year when it came to injuries. I know that they say they had a lot of missed man games, but I believe that was masking the real situation, and that is that Kent Austin, the genius that he was, he completely overhauled the Hamilton Tiger Cats from day one. And, you know, a lot of the players that, oh, they didn't play, weren't because they didn't play because they were hurt. They didn't play because he didn't want them to play, and they weren't going to play.
Uh-huh.
That's my opinion. He definitely made a lot of changes. And, of course, with a lot of help from the old Edmonton GM, whose name we don't mention because it's better we don't. Anyway,
he's the GM of Hamilton. There's no doubt there.
No doubt about it. I don't believe the moves that have been made by Hamilton are not Ken Austin moves only.
No,
his fingerprints are all over that team. His fingerprints are all over that team.
Yep.
The man's
he's
brilliant.
Just quietly doing his job. Totally brilliant. A great team. The two of them.
The one thing that you guys have completely – sorry, I don't mean to cut you off right there, and I'm jumping ideas really quickly here. One thing that you guys totally and completely neglected to say tonight when you're talking about the improvement of the riders and Ty Smith and G. Roy Simon and Darian Durant and everything that all came together, you missed the single most important person in this entire conversation and the man
Heyman?
Who did it all.
Heyman.
George Cortez.
Oh, Cortez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
George Cortez.
Really?
Brought that team. Oh,
really?
Without question, that man put the... Kelly, are you going to argue with me here?
I think they did it in spite of him myself. I think they did it in spite of Cortez. Cortez, in my opinion, before Kelly says anything, Cortez was a loose cannon, and he really, in my opinion... I saw an offense that would get frustrated, and it was not because of the team, but because of the coach. And you could see him on the sidelines. He was beside himself when things didn't go the way he expected. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe that was wishful thinking on my part, but Kelly, you can pipe in now. I wasn't afraid to say that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know how they put the archetypes on the guys, right? And, you know, you kind of fall into one way or the other. Well, he's not a player's coach. You know, nobody's ever said he's a player's coach or anything. But like Christopher says, he implements a system that if it's bought into 1,000%, and you got guys, you know, here last year that, you know, were just looking for something to buy into, right? I mean, you know, like they want to get the job done, and it's been proven time and time again if players buy in, it's got a lot of...
He's gone now, isn't he? Isn't he gone now?
No, he's not. He's re-signed.
He's still with
He's re-signed.
Okay. Would you agree that Wally Buono is one of the top three football minds in the league at this point in time?
Yes.
As a coach?
Yeah. Coach,
as
general
GM?
Manager, football. Is there anybody out there right now?
One at a time. GM?
I'd want to rate him differently for each hat he wears, but GM, he's the best GM in the league right now.
There's a reason
Wally
why he
so
tried
hard-headed.
To get George Cortez as his offensive coordinator. There is a reason that Wally Buono wanted George Cortez to be our offensive coordinator. Why? He's probably the best in the league. Riders have him right now, and he is what took them to the Grey Cup and beyond. So I don't care whether he's a player's coach or not. There's a reason why he's in the position that he is. It's because he's damn good at it.
Yes, he is.
Yep.
And
so, I
have
a question for anybody.
What happened in Hamilton a couple of years ago was an aberration.
Uh-huh.
I never said he's a head coach.
No, I know, but okay. So he is the ultimate assistant coach in as far as offense is concerned.
Oh yeah, for
there's
sure.
A lot of
he's the top offensive
coach.
Coordinator.
Very
he's
top.
The top OC
I agree.
In the league.
agree.
I mean, look at the list. I mean, you can go Dave Ritchie, you can go Rich Stubler, you can go Greg Marshall. There's a ton of people out there that are great coordinators that should never be head coaches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like Ricky Hall on our defensive side. You know, it didn't work out for him in Edmonton at all, but he came back here and found his feet again, and he's got a championship ring now, you know. Like, I mean, you know, he's a great DC, but he just doesn't make a good head coach so far.
Are we going to find that out with Chris Jones?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah.
They're about to fall on their face.
Oh yeah, because he's going to rub his. Chris Jones is going to rub his players the wrong way. I say by the fourth or fifth game, you're going to catch a lot of them offensive receivers and offensive guys.
Am I hearing something here, guys? Because I'm trying to learn at the same time that I'm giving an opinion. So what it sounds like I'm hearing is you can be a tough taskmaster, a non-players coach if you're a coordinator. If you're a head coach, not so much.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Chris?
Can you just imagine Chris Jones getting in Willie's face day after day, balling him out, man, for a play? Maybe he didn't throw the ball right or misread the play. Man, them guys going to give up on him so quick, they're going to want him out of there.
Well, it's going to be interesting to find out.
I'm hoping
Edmonton. I'm sorry, I'm reading Facebook. Stevie Myers sent, he wants to do a show on Manasseh jumping off the Riders bandwagon onto the Bombers bandwagon.
No, that's just a thing
I'm
he
sorry,
does.
I'm sorry, guys. Reading that made me laugh. I thought that was funny because that actually is a good show. No, but actually we've already done that show. Well, let's talk about the Bombers now. We've got plenty of time left here. We've saluted Saskatchewan. We've saluted the fact that there are coaches who for whatever reason have not been strong head coaches, there's a book called The Peter Principle. I don't know if any of you guys know the book. And basically, yep. The Peter Principle is a book written establishing that people get promoted to the point of failure. In other words, you're successful, you get promoted, and you stop getting promoted after you fail. So now you're stuck in a position where you're not very good. And in fact, I think that's what you're talking about when you guys are talking about the fact that a head coach, doesn't necessarily find success being a head coach, yet he may be perfectly suited for, you know, a coordinator's job, whether it be head coordinator for defense or offense. Cortez is probably one of those candidates, but I think also in fairness to Cortez, the situation in Hamilton may not have been the right one. It's like what happened in Montreal this past year. If we can touch on Montreal as well, since we're talking about head coaches, coordinators, and failures at head coach. Montreal had a failure at head coach, and now they have a head coach who doesn't want to be a head coach. We've touched on the ones that shouldn't be, and now we got one. He's one who doesn't want to be. How often have we run into one where there's a head coach? And am I overstepping by making that comment, or is it a fair statement that Pop doesn't want to be the head coach? If he had his choices, his druthers, he would not be the head coach. Chris?
I don't think he is a head coach. I don't think he's qualified to be a head coach.
And do you think he recognizes that?
Damn straight he does. He's not an idiot.
Sure, right. I don't mean to laugh, but Chris hit it right on the head, man. Seriously. He already know he don't want to be a head coach. It's not even in his forte. If he want to do anything, I bet you he want to be with an offensive coordinator or the GM.
I don't think he's qualified for that either. He's a GM. He's a damn good GM.
He's one of the best GMs in football history, but, you know, there's no way he's a coach. He's been
a total
dismal failure every time he's been behind the bench. He's not an idiot.
Actually,
he knows it.
I don't think you can characterize this past season as a failure for him. I think he did a great job, and this team was under his tutelage and direction kind of successful.
Compared to Ted Hawkins, my mother would have been a better coach.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to come back with Andrew J. Allen trying out for the Chicago Bears. Indoor Football League player, wants to play in the CFL, NFL. He'll play anywhere. Just sign him, and he's ready to go. He's ready to go. Jason of the Argonauts. I like that. That's got a good sound to it.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
We're here today because the high school football league grew by one team today.
Yeah, it did. It grew by one additional team, and it's part of our Level of Playing Field program that's presented by Tim Hortons. We add teams, schools that need a football team, we put them in. And we also work with them when it comes to safety, and we did a safety clinic before this. So it's an all-encompassing program, so it's a really neat thing today.
Now, how much work does it take to get a team going? Is this something that took all year, or did it start last year? What kind of intense planning is required?
Well, it's a lot of approval process when it comes to the administration. There has to be buy-in from everybody at the school. Then there has to be a community buy-in. And then after that, then you start looking at funding. The funding is where you can pretty well start a team for about 15 to 20,000 safely and efficiently, and what you do is 15 will get you going, and then after that you have to ensure that you're going to have the student body that's going to support the program. So you have to have the numbers, and then coaching is above all. If you don't have the coaching and the dedication from staff that say I'm going to spend some time after school, you won't be able to get it done. And they did just that. They put it all together.
So if any school is interested, that's pretty much
they have to apply in every January. We'll have an application up on our website. They have to apply and do an application process, and they fill out the form and show that they're committed enough to bring a team in. And then we do this, and we do beyond the fact of just funding. We do everything from mentorship to pep rallies to whatever the school needs to get this thing going.
Congratulations, Jason.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. High school football is a way of the CFL generating interest in their game, and one of the things that does guarantee fans willing to watch the game is if they played the game. Charitable things are things that CFL teams do all the time. Last year, Joe Appel, now an Ottawa Red Black, was a Toronto Argonaut, and the White Ribbon Campaign is about violence against women and violence against people in general. And this is a the White Ribbon Campaign came from BC. It's part of Braley's contribution to our community. Here's an interview with Joe Appel.
You know, it's great. It's exciting to see the team progress in the work we do in the community. I myself do a lot of work outside of what the Argos do as well, and it's exciting to see the government and everybody deciding to go in the same direction and work together. The thing that I started to realize is because I had been the victim of bullying at first, I started to see the look in other people's eyes that I knew that I knew that they were feeling what I had used to feel. And then fortunately at the same time I was finding a new identity through sports and becoming successful with that. So I had the confidence level that I never had before, and I didn't feel like I needed to go try and chase new ways to get that confidence. And eventually I felt comfortable enough to remove myself from that situation, and then slowly over the years get to the point where now I can go out and actively prevent others from taking the same paths that I chose, and hopefully help people avoid making those same decisions.
Tough decisions that people have to make. Unfortunately, abuse is something that is not recognizable by the abuser until they actually take a look in the mirror. Anyway, one of the challenges in life, abuse, and don't stand by and just let it happen. All right, now joining us is Andrew A.J. Allen. He is going to a Chicago Bears camp And first of all, congratulations, Andrew.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
It's good to hear. We've been in touch with you. This is the second time you've been on the program, and you're making progress, I guess, right? Would it be a fair way to describe how things are going for you?
Oh, yes. Everything going good in Chicago right now.
Now, you do know that Tressman was the coach of the Montreal Alouettes here in Canada.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And he's a quarterback coach. He is a guy that Chicago brought in because they had a young quarterback that was having difficulty. And he's there to help him be a better quarterback, which if you make the team, also helps receivers, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It does really, really bad. So, but everybody know that I play receiver and running back in return. So no matter what, I could be a good asset on any part of the offense or return game. Also,
I realize you don't want to label yourself because you want to keep every door open. But if there was a favorite chore that you like performing, which one would that be?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite position. What I want to do, I just like when the football is in my hand. Really, I'm not picky at what I want to play. I'm just not good on defense, but other than special teams, return a power return receiver or running back, I'm all good.
Well, the commonality between a running back as a receiver is, as you said, once you have the ball in your hands, making guys miss.
Right.
Important trait, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's really big.
What do you think, as your opportunity arises here, going in, what are you thinking going into camp? What's the first thing that you want to keep repeating to yourself?
Well, going to the workout with the Bears, basically, I just got to make sure I run good routes. Make sure my technique is good, running the 40, you know, testing very well. Other than that, if I go in knowing that I could compete with anybody that's on the team, I'll do well.
And knowing that you do well here, there's different levels of well. I mean, the obvious is to make the team, but you can also create some buzz about yourself that other people will be seeing that aren't necessarily Bears management. Other teams, including the CFL, will be paying attention to how you do at that camp, don't you think?
All right, because I also had an invite to attend Edmonton Eskimos. It's a rookie camp in Florida, but I haven't been dated yet, so I'm waiting on that. And the two other teams contacted me also, the new CFL team and Coach James for the Hamilton Tigers. Both teams asked for my film, so because after they hear me with the workout that I got invited to, so more doors is opening for me.
Exactly my point. The fact that the Bears are interested, increases interest elsewhere. In the event that you don't make the Bears, but really are a talent to be reckoned with, must feel really
right.
Good.
It feels great, and I feel blessed. But at the same time, got to stay humble. I don't want to brag about what I can do, what I can't do. I'm just going to go in the show and let my play show.
Okay, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of guys you've already met before on different shows.
Okay.
First of all, Kelly Bale. He is a Saskatchewan Rough Rider fan. Kelly, say hello to Andrew A.J. Allen.
How you doing, bud?
How you doing?
Really good, man. Nice to meet you, man. Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the show. Hopefully you make it down there.
Oh, I really appreciate it. I feel like a family for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you are. You know we're pulling for you. Do you have a question for him, Kelly?
I was basically going to try to pry out of you. If you did end up in the CFL, have you ever looked toward a CFL team and thought, geez, man, you know, if I ever did play up there, this would be a cool team to play for.
I said that I like how the rules are in Canada, how the field is big. And my cousin was playing, and he always told me Canada had the best candy, the best chocolate. So coming from a small town back from Arkansas, the opportunity of going to play at a higher level and you know, doing things so I can represent my hometown and state, it's a blessing. So it doesn't matter what team. I wouldn't ever be picky at what team I should go to.
Well, you mentioned a couple of teams of interest in this room. So, you know, that's an important thing. Right, Mike?
Right.
Right.
Mike, are you there? Oh, maybe I lost Mike. Christopher, you got a question for AJ? Did I lose Christopher too? Oh, I know what's going on here. Hang on. No. That's my bad, man. That's my bad. Mike,
thank you.
You first. I forgot to turn on their mics.
Hey, can you hear me?
Well, yeah. We can hear you, Mike. I just had your mic off. My bad.
Oh, okay. Hey, what's up, AJ?
How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm chilling. Man, I got a quick question for you.
Okay.
Did y'all have your first game yet down in Chicago with the Blizzard?
With the Blizzard, we had our first game against the second now. We were doing good. It was 10-0 started off, but it started kind of a little slow for us. We didn't have our offensive lineman there. Well, our bench there, but other than that, that was a first game. Everybody had not the rust off of playing against a great team that was in the championship game last year. So we
knew
team. Other than that, our team was good. Defense held them good, but offense, we just started real slow. But for the second game coming up Monday night against the Extreme, I think offense is way better now.
Okay, because I'm waiting for y'all to come to Detroit, man, so I can see y'all smack the Thunder. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I'll get a chance to meet you when you come to Detroit.
Okay, then.
If he's not playing for a CFL team by then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Chris, you got a question for our friend AJ?
Question? No, I've got a statement for him. You said that you're a running back with good hands. Is that how you described yourself?
Basically, I'm all purpose, but I'm a receiver. I've been playing running back since high school, coming from a wishbone power offense. But after playing receiver, after going to California, you know, I started training with my coach who played in the NFL, Billy Yancey, back in the day when it was Los Angeles Rams. And I got in contact with Ocho Cinco, receiver coach, Coach Collins. So I've been playing receiver for like 3 or 4 years. So I'm a receiver that got hands that run a good route at the same time. I can also play running back if needed. I'm not scared. I like running between the tackles.
Okay.
What about blocking?
Here in
Canada, blocking is really important when you talk about being a running back.
Yes, I love to block because, like I was saying, coming from a high school that ran the wishbone offense, you have to block.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to block.
There you go.
So where I was going with this is there was a running back 2 years ago. Didn't do so good this past year in the CFL, but 2 years ago he was basically turning the league on its ear because he was doing things that nobody has done in this league in a long time. And I would suggest you go watch some game film on a guy named Andrew Harris.
Okay.
The boy came out of the backfield. He caught the ball more than he carried it as a running back, and he made the difference in a team that went, well, they didn't win anything. You understand what I'm saying? I just think that if you're a running back with good hands that can catch the ball, watch some film on Harris of the BC Lions, because I think that is what this league needs, and I think what this league is going to go to.
Yeah,
not so much
I agree.
The handoff. It's not going to be the handoff from the quarterback. It's going to be the short 5-yard dump pass and putting the sixth receiver onto the field,
right,
which is more important.
Well, that's
anyhow,
not a problem for
my business. So that's my statement to you is go check out some Andrew Harris game film from 2012 season of the BC Lions, and if you can do what he's doing, you got yourself a decent position. People are going to look at you.
Okay, I really appreciate that, and I will check him out too.
Here in Canada, the running back is as much a slot back as the slot back is.
Right.
At times, yeah.
Yes, they is.
So you're running with you have two slot backs.
Right. Hey, AJ, a lot of my Canadian counterparts here on the show, with it being indoor football, arena football, they don't get a chance to see the indoor game as we do down here in the States about all the different players that play in the indoor and arena leagues. That's what I wish they would get. I wish they could see what the type of person you are playing in the indoor leagues on TV or in the game so they can see your talents. Man, I watched some of your YouTube film, man, and you're pretty good, bro. So I hope that you make it to the next level.
Well, I appreciate it. I got a few clips because I got a few clips. I didn't get played that much because it was our first game. You know how coaches be so in much in the zone where they forget a lot of stuff and a lot mm-hmm. about the personnel change, things like that. But the preseason game, I scored the winning touchdown, but the different teams had different rules, so it was just like a scrimmage game. Then I caught a pass at the backfield, made one guy fall down hard, and had the whole arena just going crazy up in there. Then the first game, I caught a bubble screen 3 or 4 yards, and I had some crucial blocks. But this game coming up Monday, I will be used a lot. Coaches told me that it was their fault that the team didn't really use me like they should, use my talents like they should. So Monday night, I should get a lot of touches on everything.
And there you go.
That's important for you, isn't it, to get the touches?
Right. Right. I feel like if I play a running back, if I could get 5 touches, I don't need a lot of touches. And then a receiver, if I could get 5 to 6 touches, I'm okay.
And your history. Where'd you play college football?
I went to University of Central Arkansas. Every time I say that, they be like, what school is that? I just say, same school Scottie Pippen came out of.
Yes, sir.
There you go. And do you have a good jump shot, too?
Oh, yes. I've been playing basketball all my life, AU basketball, traveling, playing against AU, like the real deal tournament, Arkansas Fayetteville, when Kevin Durant was in high school. Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose, Douglas Roberts, his teammate. So, and we almost played against Little Romeo, but we didn't have the chance to go because it was a football summer camp. So everybody had to stop. I was the point guard of the team. So I've been playing basketball and football all my life.
That sounds awesome.
So yeah.
Yes, sir.
So basically, you've been successful all your life. Tell us about the experience of being a player where, you know, it's always the 1%. You know, you start in high school and you're the best player in high school, then you're the best player in college, and the competition gets thicker and thicker. What's been the toughest part mentally for you to advance, your career? What do you find the biggest challenge mentally?
Biggest challenge that teams look at or coaches look at because I come from a small town from the South. And people think there's no players there like that. So since high school, I went through college and playing pro bowl, whatever. I had different obstacles I had to go through because coaches will look at me, be like, this kid ain't this kid ain't that, because where I came from, it's not where you come from. So I went through a lot. I had to prove my way through a lot with a lot of coaches where I should never have to prove. But at the same time, I'm always learning. God is testing me, so I'm learning a lot of stuff from God to see that I'm built for this type of lifestyle. So I feel like I'm blessed that I went through all this type of stuff.
Yeah, so you've had plenty of time to deal with doubt. You've had plenty of time to deal with what people's doubt. And what Mike said was, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Right, because I always go in, I practice hard, I do everything like I should, and practice game time. But at the same time, everybody know how to football, basketball, how sports is politics. So it's always who you know or things like that. So sometimes I got to sit back and wait my turn, but at the same time, I know I am better than this person or, you know, things like that. But at the same time, I just got to sit back, cheer my team on, and just keep doing what I got to do to succeed in life. So I can't worry about the next person.
Do you think there'll come a time when not coming from mainstream will not be an issue? Do you see a time when that'll be the case? Because it sounds to me like that's, like you said, that's one of your toughest challenges, is that you're coming from, you know, from a direction that people can't compare you to, or can't, you know, can't assume stuff about you. You're a total surprise. You're unique. Do you see a time when maybe you'll be able to blend in better? And is it approaching?
If I probably could, it might be, but at the same time, it's like the Oklahoma City Thunder, James Harden, the sixth man. James Harden was a good player. He, you know, he was able to be a starting player. At the same time, he knew his role. He knew what he had to do coming off the bench. And it, like my parents tell me, it's not who starts the race, it's who finishes it.
There you go. And it's really wonderful to have you on, and I really hope we're going to keep track of you. And we know also that when you get really famous, it might be a little harder to get closer to you to talk to you, but we're going to give it our best because we know, I think the guys agree with me, you have a lot of desire and a lot of intensity, and it all points in one direction, and that's being successful. And for that, you have to be congratulated, win or lose. I love your spirit.
Well,
yeah,
this one, though, I would never, no matter how big I get, whatever, I would never let money control me at the same time. I would never act funny towards the people who were trying to give me a shot to make and give me more exposure, because God don't like ugly. He could take everything away from me.
Amen.
I'd love to take a lot of credit for what you're going to do, but I know what I have, what my part in this is very small. I'm just sitting here saying, I'm just cheering you on. That's what I can give you. That's as much as that's as much as I can hope to give you. The rest, like you, I can't control who listens to this show. I can't control who does something about listening to this show. So I'll just take credit for what I can do, and that is I'll take credit for the fact that I really like you, and I'm really happy for you that you've had a great opportunity, and I know how much you want this. And if that's enough, we know you're going to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
Our pleasure, man.
And Frank, he's also in the CFL room as one of the members of the CFL room, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he is.
Oh,
yeah,
we can always get in contact with him through the group. Yep.
Yeah. I'm being facetious, and I'm sort of having fun a little bit. Because when he does answer the call, he's going to look that much better towards us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we love the game. We love the players. We're fans for the game. We love the CFL. But we love football, and we love talking football in the off season. It's something that's not usual. But we do it, and we succeed in doing it. And, you know, the listeners... the ones that at least let us know they're listening are very happy with being able to listen to this show, and I'm sure they're really admiring your hard work, your drive, and this is the third time I've said it. I think you're going to be successful, and I can't wait till that day arrives. Thanks, Andrew.
Well, I appreciate it, too.
Have a great night, Andrew. All right. AJ Allen, he will be trying out with the Chicago Bears, and... also has already tried out for the BC Lions in Seattle, and come March 1st, he'll do it again for the Ottawa Red Blacks. When we come back, we're going to close out the show, and we're going to talk about some of the other CFL goings-on. We talked about the schedule. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the schedule, and we'll talk about some of the players that have moved around, and we'll close things out with, of course, Mike, Christopher, and, of course, Kelly. And my name's Frank. We'll be back right after this short instructional audio presentation.
This team, this cheer actually originated with the 1925 NHL hockey Hamilton Tigers, which we're now trying to get an NHL team back, as you know. Yeah. And a guy named Vince Wirtz used to jump on the ice with his big fur coat and bowler hat and do this cheer. And then it translated over to the football side because, well, there was no more hockey team. They went to New York.
Yeah.
So that cheer went from Vince to his son, Bill Wirtz. Bill carried it on until, around 70s. And then Pigskin Pete picked it up, Paul Weiler, and he just retired and handed it to a new guy. So this cheer has been going, well, do the math, from, say, 1925, 75 plus 9 is...
A long time,
there
Bob.
There you go. 84.
Exactly.
Almost 90 years old this year.
Yeah. And you'll see it at the games. The guy's got a bowler hat because they've kept that tradition from day one. So it goes like this. Oski wee wee.
Oski wee wee.
Oski wah wah.
Oski wah wah.
Holy Mackinac.
Holy Mackinac.
Tigers.
Tigers.
Eat them raw.
Eat them raw. Okay.
There you go. And
Oski wee wee. Oski wah wah. Holy Mackinac.
Tigers.
Eat them raw.
All right.
Okay.
Got it.
Hey, look, honey, we made it back. Isn't that lovely? Okay, so how do you want to wrap this up, guys? We got 2 minutes left.
I just want to say, Frank, man, I appreciate all the guests that you've been having on the show lately, man, and keep it coming, bro.
Yeah, it's been good.
Well, thank you. Well, I couldn't do this without you guys. Let's be clear about something. The two guests I had tonight weren't because of me. One was because of Christopher. And the other one, I think, I don't know, was it you, I think? Mike, wasn't it you that originally brought Andrew in?
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So what are you giving me credit for?
Because you let him come back in, man, to give some updates and talk about the progress on the show. I mean, man, if it wasn't for you, they wouldn't be coming back to the show, bro.
Okay. Well, listen, I'll take the compliment. I'm not comfortable with compliments. I got to be honest with you. I don't handle them very well. Thank you. I think it's a simple thing to do is to say thank you to you and Chris for your contribution. And, of course, Kelly as well. Kelly is a stalwart here. And I've given you guys nicknames, and I hope you don't disapprove. I like Kelly's the best. And Saskatchewan Daddy.
Yeah, it's good.
And,
it's good.
Good.
It'll
I just want to make sure. And it'll work, too. Yeah, you know what? You know, having a family and being a CFL fan isn't that hard. The good news is being a CFL fan, it's not too expensive, first of all, for you to go, so you're not, you know, adding too much strain on the purse strings that the family may have. And the strain is really not so much that you could actually bring in. We've got Aaron McIntosh who brings in his children to the game who are barely old enough to walk, but still he brings them. We've got, you know, Bill Howe and Liam Howe getting taken everywhere, you know. And so, you know, that's the thing about the CFL, and we get a chance to – you know, I wouldn't have met you guys without doing this program. And it's interesting for me because when I look back to 2 years ago before I started this program, I didn't think that people wanted to talk about the CFL at all, never mind in February.
Yeah, it's a hot-button issue for some of us long-timers and passionate people. I mean, you know, like... this is what we do in Regina, really. I mean, it's the only show in town. I mean, we do have the oldest junior hockey franchise in the world, but, you know, like, they've seen some down years, so Riders are number one here. And I think the majority of the population in Saskatchewan is thinking about them year-round.
Well, Kelly, that's why go ahead, Christopher.
I've never found a bad day to talk about football.
Me neither.
Yeah. I understand that, and I have learned that, and I'm willing to admit that. When I started this program, we've only got about 30 seconds left. I started it because I felt that the CFL wasn't being paid attention to in Toronto enough, and that's why I did it. I just didn't realize it would span the country. So, guys, thank you for helping me out again and being on here, because truly without you guys, the show would not be what it is. And to those of you that are tuning in, thank you for tuning in, because you put the wind under our sails to believe that it's a good idea to do this. The CFL is something worth talking about. Unfortunately, you know, we are, how shall I say, we are a society that gravitates to one. The diversity within this society, especially when it comes to sports, is very tough. It's not about hockey, it's about the Maple Leafs. It's not about football, it's about the Dallas Cowboys. You know, it's kind of nice that we get a chance to be a part of something that is unique. And the uniqueness is that we have a groups of people that come from time to time here to talk about the Canadian Football League at a time when the Canadian Football League isn't even playing. I always take pride in that, and I continue to take pride in it. And the other pride I take is the new people that tune in. So these fine gentlemen that helped me out to make this show interesting, John Granger, who isn't here right now, he's got to learn to charge his battery before he comes to air so that he can have time to talk. But hopefully next time we'll get John back in. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. And, of course, you've been listening to the Candid Frank Live Show. This is, of course, the Canadian Football League edition. Thanks for tuning in. This was show 146, and we hope to see or hear you again. We'll go out with this 14 magical seconds.
Angelo's back. Yes, Mosca's back with the King. Don't miss the CFL Alumni Luncheon. Party on at the Real Sports Bar, November 23rd. Dare to be there.
Angelo Mosca and his King. Thanks for tuning in. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Monday and Friday, CFL. Wednesday, The Rock, National Lacrosse League. And if these guys have their way, there'll be a second half again, a part two, which will be CFL. But we'll play it from week to week. Thanks for tuning in.